Hello, I think we are on the air now. Hello, Helene LeLay.
Hi, Dad.
All right, and live from the DNC in Charlotte, it's the Financial Sanity Hour now, live at the DNC, Democratic National Convention. Nah, we're just kidding. We're not there. But for all you who have been watching it, I think you'll find that the Democratic plank is definitely more pro-housing and more pro-consumer than the other party, which we won't even mention at this time. And just a few facts in the housing plank are it still calls for continued HAMP programs and programs to help people with housing and principal reduction, even more than now. But that's all for after the election.
And HAMP was run through now 2013, is that correct?
That's correct.
So it extended from 2012 to 2013, and for those of you that do not know what the HAMP program is a housing program that helps homeowners stay inside of their home by potentially lowering their interest rate to as low as 2%, stretched out to as far as 40 years, lowering the payment, making it more affordable. This is just one of the tasks. Something that we do here at Financial Sanity Now, also known as Advanced Economic Strategies. You can go to our Facebook page and like us, and you'll find out more information about us at www.financialsanitynow through Facebook, or you can go to our website, www.financialsanitynow. And if you have any questions, you could email my father, Alan, at Alan, A-L-L-E-N, at Apple Edward Sam Advanced Economic Strategies, A-E-S, Alan at AES77.com. So, Dad, where do you want to begin this week? What do you want to tell the people? What is the latest financial news? What do you feel about that one article that I pointed out to you in the Rolling Stones, the Bank of America article?
Well, that was a fascinating article, and indeed, it was something that I recommend many people to read. I don't know how many people read the Rolling Stone of our listeners, but the it was about it's at Bank of America, too crooked to fail, and this article deals with, wait, let me say who it's by, Matt Tabibi. Matt Tabibi is a brilliant author. He's written a lot about the banking system in general. So Bank of America got its name right. The ultimate too-big-to-fail bank really is Bank of America. He says, quote, it's a hyper-gluttonous ward of the state whose limitless fraud and criminal conspiracies we'll all be paying for until the end of time. Did you hear about the plot to rig the global interest rate? That was the LIBOR plot. So they were rigging the interest rates to a certain point so that they could trade on those interest rates. The $137 million fine for bilking schools and cities, well, that was the fine they paid after making billions and billions of dollars. This article, which we recommend, it was written on March 14th, 2012, is a very scathing article about Bank of America. And I'm not here to judge Bank of America. It's not my job. That's the job of maybe others in the world.
Or the American people.
Or the American people. Or the people who look into the banking, which unfortunately too many of them are in the pocket of the banks. Did I say that? I can't tell you that's true for sure. I don't have that kind of evidence. I'm not an investigator. But I will say, and for those of you out there who are holding Bank of America mortgages, how cooperative have the banks been with you? We'd like to know. We'd like you to call in, call the station, leave a message on our website. What has the bank, how has the Bank of America treated you? Let's get the consumers to start talking about the Bank of America. Do you have a first with the Bank of America? A second? Did you have a countrywide loan?
To be more specific, first mortgage or
first
second
mortgage.
Mortgage
or second mortgage or equity line. Did you have a home ec, what's called home ec loan, that was bought out by Bank of America? Did you have a Bear Stearns loan that was bought out by Bank of America? So I think it's very important to get consumer feedback. This is what we want. Have you tried to get a loan modification? when you're on the phone, do you get someone who actually answers your calls?
Do you get someone who answers your calls in America, or are you outsourced to the Philippines? Are you outsourced to India?
I don't.
You're calling Bank of America. Also, we do have another horror story. A client of ours will be helped through an entire modification process, consulting them step by step. He was a firefighter here in Los Angeles. He still is. I apologize. He's the chief of his fire station, Frank Cornejo. He was issued a final modification, and then they pulled it out. They sent a notary to his home, legal notary with legal loan modification, final documents, after being on a trial mortgage payment for about 6 months, took his money, which in California, taking money is a legally binding contract, for 3 months. Then after that 3 months, threw it out and told them they wanted to reprocess the entire deal all over again. So that's one of the horror stories that have occurred. They're now facing foreclosure. We're helping them extensively as much as we can. We also like to ask you, if you are interested in helping the Cornejos, you can write into us, 15303 Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks, California, 91403. You could title it to Advanced Economic Strategies, and we will forward in your complaint for them. Or if you have money, funds, and you use your normal debit account through Bank of America each month, we would suggest to the largest bank in America to pull your money out and to bank elsewhere. One of the banks that has been more cooperative with myself personally on just a helping people note is City Mortgage. Yes, you know, have they had their times of difficulty? Absolutely. But, you know, I personally like banking with them. Chase isn't that bad. Wells Fargo, and, you know, it all depends on what they give you, you know, what they're charging you and how they can make it convenient for you. We're trying to take the banking days back to when they first began, where they really tried to be fair. They tried to be fair. They tried to help the consumer. Right now, it seems like all they're doing is attempting to profit. You know, there's people with very high interest rates, homes underwater, and investors that are embedded with, you know, places as high up as potentially the OCC, which is supposed to be controlling all of this corruption. So if you have any complaints, you have a horror story, you want to share it with us, you need our help, you can always call us at 866-753-4028. We help people every day. There's also a book, The Homeowner's Relief Kit, that my father wrote personally. You can find that on www.financialsanitynow under Homeowner's Relief Kit. And if you have any questions, you can contact us there as well.
Yeah, so we want to thank all of you people who have bought the book. Sales are really moving a lot.
That's right. Texas, they bought a few, and in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people buying the book, and we're getting comments how much they're helping to go through the maze, of regulation.
There's a YouTube that my father was on personally. He was on a show. What was that show called? Los Angeles Best Deals.
Best Deals.
And it's under Advanced Economic Strategies or Financial Sanity Now. And you could check out live testimonials. They are not paid actors, folks. These are actual people that we have helped. Just, you know, two or three, maybe even four people that we have helped in the thousands of people we've helped in the last 4 years. So you can also see a live testimonial there and leave a comment, share the thread, go to our Facebook, like our page. Now, Dad, I have a question.
Yes.
I saw an article, this was a few days ago, and it's an article entitled, I'm Trapped in a High-Rate Mortgage. With record-low mortgages of 3 to 4%, they have reached through these homeowners despite having good credit and making the payments on time. Some people are still stuck in a 6% or more on their loans. And actually, it's interesting that that's the beginning of the article, because most of our clients are stuck on, you know, high interest loans or loans that are unstable that simply aren't fixed. And you never know when they can amortize up, and all of a sudden you're obligated to this large interest payment simply because your loan wasn't fixed. And that's another thing we do here at Advanced Economic Strategies. And so if you have any questions about that, and you're in America and we can help you, we will. 866-753-4028. So I'm going to read a part of this article, and it says, this is about a woman. Shortly after her mother passed 5 years ago, Christy Robinette bought a home with her father, Ronald Schriller, for $189,000. They love the place, but its value plummeted to $120,000, but they owe $178,000, about, you know, $58,000 underwater. But even worse, the mortgage is carrying a sky-high 7% interest rate. And for 3 years, they've been attempting to refinance on their own, but they owe too much to meet Freddie Mac's guidelines. And since they haven't fallen behind on payments, they don't qualify for a modification under the HAMP program, which was what we were talking about earlier, the Making Homes Affordable. Their mortgage servicer is Ocwen, and they're now coming to the decision that they're either going to short sell or walk away. There is another option, folks. There are other options. You could call us, and we would be more than happy to help you. And she states here, my dad is 74 years old. He worked the transmission line at Ford Motor. He never missed a payment. It would kill him to walk away, she said. But recently, they tried to refinance again through the Making Homes Affordable refinancing program, the HARP, a government program that helps underwater borrowers who are currently on their payments, and met with Ocwen about applying for the port program. However, they didn't hear back for weeks. And that's another thing that a lot of our clients deal with. They don't hear back from the bank. And so most of the time with our clients, we have to escalate it up the ladder, you know, through the executive office to get some kind of a response. And she also quotes, I know they are bombarded, but I feel as if those of us that have pretty good credit are being shoved to the back of the line, she said. Eventually, she received a letter from Ocwen offering her some review options, but it's still not clear if they're able to refinance, and Ocwen did not respond to the request for the comment for CNN Money. What's your response on that, Dad?
Well, I'd like to say a few things. One, in the beginning, I mean, when these loans were originally taken out, 6% and 7% were not bad rates. And I think for those people who are very young, they think they may be getting used to these low rates. But rates were much higher. So I just wanted, there was no fault about that, just the way the rates were. Okay, interest rates were high, prices were high. Today, that is a high rate because the banks are definitely being charged zero between each other. They're getting money at it's almost like, picture this, you could go up to a window and get money at 0.25% or maybe less. So, you know, it definitely is in the interest of all parties to lower the rates for the consumer, okay? Again, if anyone has comments as I'm speaking, please call our line. 866-753-4028. Now, the thing about modifying is, and Helena, I want you to know this, and I want all our audience to know that, this is not what they call an equitable system. An equitable system would be where everyone gets a 3% loan. If you have a mortgage, you got it between 2001 and 2009, you get a 3% mortgage. Doesn't matter what your income is, what your home's underwater, over water. So there are so many cases of people falling into spaces where one person on one side of the street is earning less money and has fallen behind in their payments, and the banks choose to give them a modification. The other person across the street has a high-interest loan, but he's earning a fair amount of money. He's been a good customer, a good citizen, and they won't give him a modification. He has to sit there with the high-interest loan. This is a very strange system indeed. And I know that there is no, you know, when you look at it, it's a hodgepodge of regulations. It's a hodgepodge of a system. It is helpful to have this system, but it is by no means fair. So I ran into a similar situation where there was no equity in the house, and this gentleman was earning good money, six-figure money. But because of all his expenses with children and taxes, et cetera, the payment was still very hard for him. He could not refinance because he wasn't a Fannie or Freddie, so he couldn't go into HARP II. I'll talk about that a little bit later. He could not get a modification. And he was just sitting there. He couldn't get anything. And I'm afraid there are people out there, and we'll tell you if you can be helped or not. We have the answer for you. I hate to say it. Sometimes it's not what people want to hear. But out of the people who've called me this week, several of them I had to say, no, I wish I could, but I can't. There's no programs for that. Sorry to say it, folks, but if you really want to get the information on your particular situation, please go to our website, just fill out your name, we'll call you back, just put your first name in there, we're a first name basis, I'm Al, that's Alina, and ask us, we'll give you the best answer we can. So, do that.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Especially because each different situation,
everyone's different.
Individual situation, there's an investor. And we've broken this down several times in the show, but we'll go into it a little bit. There's a servicer of your loan, and let's say, for an example, Chase Mortgage. And you ask who your investor is on your mortgage, who actually owns your mortgage note, whose best interest would it be in to lower the interest rate and keep the homeowner inside of the home versus foreclosing. And most likely, it's a different lender. So, for an example, you could have a mortgage through Chase, but Bank of America owns your home loan.
Yeah, very true.
And this happens far often, and, you know, you have to get it into the right person's hands. A lot of our clients have attempted to modify themselves 4, 5, 6, 7 times over before finally saying, that's it. I give up. I can't deal with this. I'm being routed all around. They're losing my documents. They're putting me on hold. They're not responding, just like the woman in the article that I just read. You could also find that on our Facebook page at Financial Sanity Now. And it's really heartbreaking. It's really heartbreaking to see so many people going through horrible stories with the banks, because you would just hope, you know, that people can be fair and equitable and help each other, but it's not always the case. So.
No, I like to say this thing about equitable. I mean, if everyone was offered a way to clean up the housing market, it's to say to each party, look, you can all have a 2% loan now, 3%, and then go to market rate, which is 3.65%. Truthfully, I don't know how that would work because there are so many investors and so many banks. But that's the only way you could make it equitable. In other words, regardless of income, that's the way it would work. Other than that, it's going to continue to be a hodgepodge of regulations and rules that are not equitable. Because equitable means everyone gets the same situation. I'm kind of sorry, folks, but that's how it is. So I think right now the important thing is to look at your situation. Don't hide your head in the sand, because sand is not so good. But look at it. You know, I said this on an interview once. I was being interviewed on TV, that do not procrastinate. Be sure. Do not start taking money out of savings to pay your mortgage. If you have some savings, you know, you're entitled to have some savings in this world. Maybe someone gets sick or loses a job. You know, everyone should have, I mean, the rule of thumb is at least 6 months' worth of expenses. If your expenses are $6,000 a month, you should have at least $36,000 sitting just somewhere that you don't touch. Now, if you're using that to start paying your mortgage, that means you're starting on an unaffordable path towards doom. Not good. Not good, folks. Before that occurs, look into the other possibilities. Either you're paying too much and you have to modify, or you have to short sell, or, you know, there are possibilities out there. So I'd say call us. 866-753-4028. Go to our website, read about the various
hardships
and solutions.
Some of the hardships that our clients have experienced are medical hardships. For an example, you know, we have a client with two very ill children that we had to help. This is through Wells Fargo.
Yeah.
And then we also, you know, we've had people who've just had surgeries and just needed to use up their savings to pay their mortgage, and they really needed a lower affordable payment.
Right.
Or just people with foreclosure sale dates. We literally help stop foreclosure sale dates with the help of the bank a lot of the time, you know, at different processes. We help stop foreclosure sale dates at least once every day. At least one every day. So, anyway,
well,
Dad,
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say the technicality of a sale is that in California, at least, you're not supposed to be double tracking. In other words, while someone's in a modification, you're not supposed to put them up for sale.
Okay.
Yeah, dual tracking is the proper term. And, you know, unfortunately, I see it being done. Now, it is actually totally illegal starting January 1st. But just because it's not January 1st doesn't mean it's right to put someone in, under such high pressure while they're trying to modify. And yet that's what's happening. I've seen it three times this week. Now, yes, we can get the sale stopped based on the fact that they are actively pursuing a modification, but how fair is that? I mean, think of your family. Okay, you have a sale date for September 15th and it's September 6th. People are on edge. They're having nervous breakdowns, literally. They might be thrown out of their homes. And they're trying. They're trying to do something about it. Okay, so
it's a very severe situation out there. It's a very severe situation indeed. Actually, there was an article in the New York Times that said, granted, new foreclosures continue to be filed. 256,000 people had a foreclosure added to their credit reports in the first quarter of June 2012 this year. 256,000 people had a foreclosure.
Those are homes. How many people per home?
Had added to their credit report. Quarter, but that figure was lower since mid 2007. The Fed said so. Mind it, and we can prove this. And we obviously know that President Obama has helped a lot of the housing programs move forward. But basically, we just, you know, wanted to bring light to the fact that there's almost there's over 250,000 people, individuals, households, just added to the credit report foreclosures in June alone. That's in a month.
That is amazing.
I mean,
amazingly bad.
Yeah, and you know, yeah, I'm glad that the Fed is recognizing that under Obama, it's way better than under what we had with President Bush in 2007. This is kind of obvious. Anybody who actually does their research will see that because of President Barack Obama, we have been able to help save a lot of homes, unlike before when these programs didn't even exist. Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
We're actually quite concerned. We're hoping that anybody listening out there in America actually does the right thing, does the research, doesn't listen to these negative commercials airing, and you know, really does the research as to who they want to vote for. And of course, we're rooting for President Obama because we want a society where it is equal and fair and people can actually get the assistance that they need instead of the wealthy, especially the people who have strictly inherited their money, you know, paying 17%, this is just throwing out a figure, how much in taxes? 15% in taxes, and how much are we paying? How much is the average American, the middle class?
28 to 31.
That's almost double. Almost double. And I don't know if anybody saw what Warren Buffett did last week, but he donated $3 billion to a children's fund. And he was interviewed by a reporter, obviously, and, you know, I don't know the names or else I would say it, but they asked him, why are you a Democrat? He said, well, because when I picture a world that I thought I was growing up in or that I want to grow up in, I want my children and my grandchildren to grow up in. I picture a world of equality. And why is it that I'm paying less in taxes than my workers? He's actually concerned about it. So what he does is he makes these large contributions to give back to society, since society's not taxing him anyway. He's somebody who's extremely wealthy and who wants to give back to the community.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah, he does. And he said that the taxation is just ridiculous. He should not be taxed at the rate he is at capital gains. And, you know, I think that brings out, says a lot to his character and to the way things are. And I don't want to say anything to stifle creativity or to stifle that people who make a lot of money, they should be, everyone should be as wealthy as they can be, as creative as they can be. A person like Steve Jobs created millions of jobs. People who create businesses should definitely be rewarded.
But how much? How much are you supposed to reward?
You know, they should be rewarded, but they should pay the proper tax rates.
Let's think about this. If somebody is benefiting off of the American society yet not paying into it what people who are making less are paying into it, how is that equal at all? I don't think it's equal. It doesn't sound like equality. It sounds like our banking system is absolutely, pardon my French, ass backwards.
Well,
the people who are, pardon me, delinquent get put to the front of the line. The more delinquent you are, if you have a stale date, hopefully you'll get some assistance in comparison to the person that's on time.
Yeah, I agree. That's even more absurd.
You would think they would want to, you know, especially these investors would want to save some money and regulate it so that, oh, if you're on time, you get more of a reward.
Yeah.
No.
Systematic reward. Isn't that what it's supposed to be about, helping the individual who does better? You know, if you want to do that, let's reverse the system a little bit. Well, I'm not sure we can solve all the problems in the world, although we'd love to. We just can point out some of the inconsistencies and some of the small ways we can be of assistance. And in terms of tax policy, let's hope that it becomes more consistent and it becomes fairer, and that certainly people get rewarded and make a lot of money. But let's remember that as a society, we need to support the schools and the universities and the infrastructure of the country.
There's been some major cutbacks, especially to where we're located in California. Major cutbacks in school.
Right.
And you know what? Do you know that? What do you know about Romney in education? Do you know what? Have you heard any of
that? I really don't know that much about it. I'm not sure that I have not read their whole platform, so I don't know.
No.
I'm not sure.
What I have heard is that it's not the number one priority, and I know I said this on the show last week, and I'm going to say it again. You know, you can give somebody food, but it will only last them a certain amount of time. You can give somebody water, it will only last them a certain amount of time. You can give somebody shelter, it will only last them a certain amount of time. But education, you could teach people how to find wells, to find lakes, to, you know, find water in different plants, cactuses. We get most of our water from food anyway. I don't know if most people know that. Scientifically, biologically, that is. And we could teach people how to grow their own food, hunt their own food, or learn how to work for their own food with education versus just giving them food.
Absolutely.
Water.
Absolutely.
And education is
the key.
Important.
The key. And that's why this country is great. Everyone says, you know, like, let's take the people who are successful. Most of them have been educated in public schools. Okay, not some people. They've gone to private schools like the Republicans, but most of them have gone to public schools and they've turned out quite successful. And we must educate our population, and not just in business and not just in science, but also in the humanities and the arts and literature. And things that
personal development is one of the classes that is a general education requirement in all of college, and personal development along with speech argumentation is also now a mandatory general education. And these are things that people need really get to know themselves. To really mature.
Well, I think that was very nice digression. Let me get back to the housing market now, if I may.
Continue.
Okay. If you people out there, if we were on TV, you would have seen a face you wouldn't believe. Okay, anyway, there's a really good article. I don't know who out there has read what's called Reality Check with Diana Olick. Diana Olick is a reporter for CNBC. That's the business network. She's really good. She really gets to the bottom of a lot of things. I really recommend her column, Reality Check with Diana Olick. One thing she said recently is that the big banks are outsourcing their service. So many of you may have, especially that bank, Auckland, when you're calling them, you're not getting anyone in the United States. Look, and I have nothing against other countries. I love the Philippines and India and all these countries. But here's the thing. These are not very well-trained people, and they do not have access to the full system. So if you call them, their computers are going to be hooked in to very minimal information. And it's very hard to get information from someone sitting in the Philippines that can maybe see your mortgage statement but cannot see any other information, nor do they have the accounting background to be able to tell you anything about your modification. And what's happened, and the article is really good, it says the big banks have been pushed to outsourcing. I'll read you just a couple of lines. In the wake of the financial crisis, and still in the midst of the foreclosure mess, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau announced new rules for mortgage services designed to protect borrowers and get them faster, more effective, informative service. Now, this is just going into effect, and I don't think many banks have put it in effect yet. The proposed changes would require services to consider applications to help from trouble owners within 30 days of receiving them. Whoa. Anyone out there has gotten a response within 30 days for your application for a modification? Helena,
absolutely,
you know anyone?
None of our clients.
How about 90 days?
Possibly. It depends on who you talk to.
Yeah, well, services will not be allowed to proceed with the foreclosure until a potential modification has been made. So you have to make a decision. Are you giving it or not? And you're not supposed to then put a sale date on someone's house. These are all changes. The rules would apply to all mortgage services, not just the nation's five largest banks. Okay? The guidelines present new challenges, especially the ones who are overwhelmed with delinquent loans. So what the banks are saying is they have a finite capacity to deal with this. And they're now outsourcing. Right? Another fact, despite improvements in the overall mortgage market, 5.8 million loans or 11.9% of all residential U.S. mortgages were either delinquent or in the foreclosure process at the end of June.
Wow.
Incredible.
This is too many people. I mean, here's a little story for people out there. I met a gentleman when I was attempting to purchase a new car, lease, whatever, a couple months ago. And we randomly started talking about the housing market, and he told me he used to actually work for Bank of America. I said, "What did you do?" And he said, "I was an underwriter." So this gentleman, he said, "I'm originally from India." He graduated with a bachelor's, a BA, Bachelor of Arts in Science. And I said, "How did you end up in finance?" He said, "They took him. He knew what he was doing, so they hired him." He told me he was getting paid $8,000 a month. $8,000 a month, and how much is that per hour?
Well, break it down, it's about $2,000 a week. There's 40 hours in a week, so it's about $100, $50. No, it's $200 an hour.
$200 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So on average, somebody's getting paid $200 an hour to, fix these loans that were issued. lower their interest rates, try to keep it affordable.
$8,000 a month, you said, or $8,000?
$8,000
a month. No, no, a month, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, $50 an hour.
Okay, so...
Sorry.
He did the math wrong, we apologize. Well, basically, the point of this is, you're getting paid $50 an hour to fix these loans. Then all of a sudden, he tells me that he was outsourced. And I said, what do you mean you're outsourced? He said, they let their entire building go. They had a building. Every single person got put on unemployment, and he decided to start work at the at a car company over here instead of going on unemployment. He said he's the kind of person that likes to be outside. He's making about a quarter of what he was making. And he said they, you know, outsourced his exact job out of the United States. So, do I think that the banks were paying people far too much in America, especially if they didn't have a degree in that particular field? Absolutely. That's their fault. They should have regulated it. They should have, you know, known who they were going to pay for what and what type of degree and what they were willing to pay, what they could have paid, because Americans need jobs. It's not right, you know, just to put so many people on unemployment. And Bank of America has done this, and a lot of banks have done this all throughout the nation, where they're shutting down these small offices and they're outsourcing them. And what the homeowners of America need to hear when they call the other, you know, side of the line for this relief with this, these hardships they're going through, especially with being delinquent, if they're delinquent on their mortgages and requesting assistance, is they need somebody more than just reading off a computer screen. They need somebody that they can relate to. They need somebody who could understand what being foreclosed on, evicted out of your own home after you saved up money to put a down payment onto it and have been paying, and then hit some type of bump in the road, whether or not it was medical or like some of the firefighters we've helped reduce by 40% income because of the state budget cut. The things that are absolutely out of your control.
Yeah.
You know, this needs to be regulated. These things need to be addressed, and we need a change. We need a change.
We sure do.
You know?
Yep, we need a change.
So it's the weekly time for the bash on the bank?
Bash the bank.
Even though we've been bashing a little bit this whole entire time. Is there a bank that
I
took the cake this week the worst possible bank?
I'm going to tell a story after I mention it. So do you have any build-up on da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da?
Well, the only thing I have is...
All right. What's that, waves?
No, it's thunder. I don't know why you ask every single week. It's always
all
right. Thunder.
It's always thunder.
The
okay.
Bash on the bank is always thunder.
The bash on the bank is GMAC, which goes under so many names, it's hard to pin this company down. The bash is that GMAC has taken over $17 billion from the government. It's owned now by taxpayers. And what do they do? They form multiple companies after companies. So many people have GMAC loans, including one of the people we know, Danny Boy, winds up with a GMAC loan that they send over to a company, and they create a company called ResCap. Now, ResCap, which is Residential Capital, is in bankruptcy. They go into bankruptcy, and they sell off all their assets to Nationwide, or NationStar Mortgage, which is part of Fortress Investment. So all these houses are now being moved from one place to another, thereby avoiding doing modifications on them. I suggest if you have a ResCap, GMAC, or Ally Financial, quote-unquote, loan, find out who really owns your loan. And because these things have taken so many forms and so many owners that I think there's probably a legal case to be made, and you should contact an attorney as to who really owns these notes anymore. I've it's hard to believe that these people just go into bankruptcy but keep these assets. And there's a lot of issues. And anyone who has a GMAC that now they call them RESCAP, they're just not allowing, they're not doing HAMP loans. They're not doing HAMP modifications. They say, well, no, we don't do them. So the bash on the banks definitely goes to RESCAP, GMAC, for generally being, begins with D and ends with K, F.
Yeah, I think we got the point. So, yeah, that's my father. He likes to, you know, he says what he feels. And, yeah, pretty much there were some situations that are going on there. And unfortunately, this is somebody who just suffered from a heart attack. So it's tougher. As we're trying to help somebody, he's sitting there in the hospital. And so much corruption to comb through with these investors and selling off and of loans and, you know, just trying to get even a good POC is rare. And that's why, you know, when I do find a good POC, I almost consider them like family.
What is a POC?
A POC for the consumers that are listening as a point of contact, somebody that you who's assigned to your loan, who's helping you through the process. And when you do get a good point of contact assigned to your loan, it's incredible, you know. I personally consider them like family friends because, you know, if they're doing something good for the consumer, they're an asset to the bank. They are a large asset, you know. They're helping actually get some loans through instead of just keeping these foreclosures. And, you know, I don't know if there's any of the POCs or anybody that works at any of these banks listening, but we don't hate all of you. You know, some of you we actually really love, so...
No, and I want everyone to know, we don't hate the banks. That's not what this is about. Banks do serve a function. No, they serve a function in society. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there.
Right.
But the function that we're requesting politely and as we can is the function to help consumers, the function to be fair. So if you're going to sell off all your loans and sell off your assets and, I mean, dump your liabilities, be fair to the consumer at the same time. Yes, be fair to the investor. Yes, be fair to the consumer. You know, it's not any one group that got into this mess. It's us as a whole. It's us as a whole. Mm-hmm. So many investors, if you've made your multi-millions, let families live in their homes. Give them a payment they can live with.
Yeah.
You know, and we also urge each person to assume individual responsibility. So start getting the book, The Homeowner's Guide, so you can start taking that responsibility. Because as much as you may want to bash anyone, and we do it seriously, but also a little lightheartedly, it's not going to do any good unless you take personal responsibility and move forward with saving your own home. And there's another thing you can do, and that's get in touch with your own finances. I mean, this week, I think you've seen as well as I have a rash of credit card debt indebtedness.
Right.
You know, I don't know, sometimes you just come across a lot of people who they're sitting there with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in credit card debt. Well, I always say there are three things you can do with the credit card debt. You can bankrupt it, your choice. Under the law, you can go bankrupt. Now, there are rules around it, so your attorney. You can settle it. But remember, if you settle it, you're responsible for the tax consequence of the settlement. It'll probably rip your credit up. Or you can use the method we use, is to negotiate the interest rates down to zero and pay it off over a five-year period.
That's also another thing that we do.
And we're not telling you what's good for you. We're just saying these are alternatives. Mm-hmm. Look at them. But if you're carrying $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in debt, unless you're making yourself $130,000 a year, I'm not sure that you're ever going to pay this debt off.
Yeah.
Not sure.
And it's really unfortunate because... people are swallowed in debt, and they're not making as much, and especially, I don't know if anybody knows what there's the minimum amount that you get paid.
Minimum payment, you'll pay it off in 23 years.
Right, no, I was talking about, I said it wrong, minimum wage.
Oh.
How much, the price, the amount that you're getting paid for minimum wage versus the amount. the cost of living, including gas, is, you know, quite outrageous and not fair at all.
No, and I think it's never been this bad. If you're a minimum wage person, you can get not even two gallons of gas. So on an average car, you can go 30 miles for working in an hour. Or you can go to the market and get a gallon of milk and a bread. Never, since I was born, even though I'm pretty young, have I seen it this bad. Where the cost of bread and gas is so high compared to the wage. Now, unless anyone's wages has gone up 30% in the last year, how do you afford gas that's up 30%? I tell you how. You don't drive as much. I don't know about you, Helena, but I don't drive as much.
Oh, no. Of course not. Where am I going to drive to?
Well, in a sense, you're lucky because you go to school in the valley where we live. And
right. I couldn't do what you did. You know, my father drove from New York to California when he was in his 20s. That was some years ago, for those of you listening. And I couldn't imagine doing that now because it would be more expensive than flying.
Yeah. Back then you could just do it. How about people who have to commute on a regular basis and have to go 30, 40 miles a day and sit in traffic?
Right.
They can't get around it, you know.
And people aren't going to get paid more unless they get educated, and there's a lot of cuts on education. So on that note, let's just go into the weekly success story of the week. I know we helped a number of people this week.
Yeah, so we'll do that.
And actually, Chase Bank has been a little bit more cooperative these days than they used to be. And I'm really loving the people that I'm working with, specifically with inside of Chase Bank. And I've helped a number of people in the last couple of weeks get a mortgage trial modification, and they seem very happy. They seem very happy for those of you who have mortgages and you want to see some of the results that we have done. You can go to our website, www.financialsanitynow, and you can see the before and after. Before mortgage statement, after mortgage statement, the interest rate, possibly principal reduction, the interest rate reduction, different things that we've done to really help a lot of people.
Yeah.
Falling behind, and people who don't want to fall behind and risk the falling behind. And that's basically, you know, that's what we do on top of helping people with settlements and lower credit card debt and all that other jazz.
Okay, well, a success story. Ready? Da 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 da. Any sound effect for me?
No. Sorry, not this week.
Okay, so the success story was a gentleman with a Spanish surname, Mr. Martinez. And I say that because he could not speak very good English. And I feel like when he got his loan, he was taken advantage of. Well, it was what's called a home ec loan. Oh, there it is. Applause for this one. Excellent, excellent. So let me tell you the story of Mr. Martinez. The home ec gave him a modified payment. It was reasonable. It included principal, tax, and insurance. He paid it. They sold his loan to Bank of America. Bank of America took over that loan. When Bank of America got the loan, they decided that they couldn't find these payments. They found him to be delinquent, even though he had made every single one of these trial payments for over 14 months, and they proceeded to foreclose upon him. Very nice. Just let's foreclose on him. Well, he went to an attorney, someone we know, who we work with very closely, Macabach, and unfortunately, he had to go into bankruptcy to prevent the sale.
Well, you have to do what you have to do, honestly. You might as well go into bankruptcy to prevent a sale, then lose your home. I know a lot of people, you know.
Well, if they have to, but you can't stay in bankruptcy too long,
right,
no matter what. So they called us up and said, can we help? We have spent the last 2 months working on straightening out all the accounting surrounding this. And finally, this week, we were able to say to Mr. Martinez, whose documents should have been printed in Spanish anyway from the beginning,
wow,
we have a 2% modification for you. And I want to tell you something. Not only is he happy, but his wife was really verging on a nervous breakdown, a young mother. And, well, we want to say congratulations to him.
And, that's incredible.
And to our staff for...
Oh, yeah, sticking, we have an amazing staff. And the thing about our company is we love what we do. We're not just doing this. We love helping people. We love helping people stay inside their homes. We love battling foreclosure sale dates. Is it a process? Is it stressful? Yes, it is. Is it sometimes, a little bit painful? It is, but we love it. So on that note, we want to end the show. I'm going to air the commercial that aired on YouTube. It's titled AES, which stands for Advanced Economic Strategies and Financial Sanity Now.com on Best Deals TV Show. And we're going to be ending the show right after we're finished with this. So on that note, thank you so much for listening. And until next week.
There's no business left.
California now has the highest foreclosure rate in the nation, up nearly 20% from the same period last year, with a record number of people either underwater or just unsure of who to turn to find a solution. Best Deals recently found one company that is helping thousands of Californians get back on track and keep their home. Alan Lazar has helped hundreds of homeowners save their homes, reduce their credit card debt, and their monthly expenses.
No one knew home prices would go down 40, 50, 60%. This is unheard of in all of our lifetimes. And they need to understand the context. Once they understand that, they can realize that it's really not their fault. Yes, they signed the paper. I agree. Everyone bears a level of responsibility, but we also bear a responsibility not to bankrupt our families and to look ahead a little bit.
Many people lose their entire savings trying to keep their home.
So if I'm earning so much money, whatever that money is, and I can see that now I'm pulling out of my savings to pay my mortgage every month, be proactive and come and talk to us.
But is there a time when it's too late?
When the house is open, it's too late. Up until then, if we even have 10 days before the sale, we can still do something. I can't promise anything, but get in touch with us. Definitely, if you get a sale date posted on your home, because that's the way it works in California, actually post it on your house, do something.
Alan has many satisfied clients happy to share their own experience.
The staff at AES helped us to lower our interest rate from 6.5 to 2%. That was really amazing.
I can't tell you what a relief it's been. And they were easy to work with. Now, when I talked to Alan in September of last year, he says, this is what you're going to get. I'm going to save you over $1,600. He did everything he said he was going to do.
He took care of everything. He was always there whenever I needed him. If I placed a call, he called me back, or he took the call immediately. I had his cell phone number. The people who work for him are really understanding. They're really caring people, but they're really good at their job.
We can reduce the rate on credit cards, like paying 8-9% down to zero. Another thing we do is negotiate what's called settlement on second or third mortgage. We negotiate those down to maybe 10 or 13 or 15% on the dollar, and then it gets removed from the house and gets removed from you personally.
It lowered it from an average of $850 a month to $325. I mean, we are saving over $1,000 a month, but more importantly for me is just the peace of mind of knowing that we're staying.
Whether your home is underwater and you're struggling to make your monthly payments, or your credit cards have simply gotten out of control, call Alan today at 866-753-4028. You can also log on to our website for more information at bestdealsshow.com.
So that's our show, folks. And until next week.